the Tom Likas Show.
Everything you say is the fucking truth, man.
Now, from the new normal studios in Burbank.
There's no doubt about it.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the new normal studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at PremiumTom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to PremiumTom.com. That's PremiumTom.com. The Tom Likas Show brought to you in part by Mangrake's Grill Enhancement System, the perfect Father's Day gift. Get your Likas discount by clicking on the banner at PremiumTom.com. Order this week, and you are guaranteed Father's Day delivery. It's Mangrake's. A bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Thank you for staying with us. Thank you for keeping it going here with us. And in studio, I see us every Tuesday at this time, 6 p.m. Pacific time on Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern time. It's attorney Adam Sachs this week appearing in the guise of defense attorney Adam Sachs. He is here with your criminal issues, your DUIs, all that foul stuff they will accuse you of that, of course, you never, ever did. And that's why you need an attorney to defend you. Adam, thank you.
Great to see you, Tom.
Good to see you. Crime.
Crime. Crime doesn't pay.
Well, it doesn't pay. Did you see the story about Burbank? Here we are in Burbank. And they had a drunk driving checkpoint not far from the New Normal Studios. And 1,011 people were pulled over. In the most recent checkpoint.
Isn't that amazing?
And out of... here's my question for you. 1,011 motorists were pulled over. How many on Friday night or Saturday night, how many drunk drivers did they find?
I don't know. Tell me.
Zero.
Oh, my God. So they inconvenienced 1,000 people.
It turns out the city of Burbank got a grant that I think runs through August to try to crack down further on drunk driving. And sure enough, they went out there and... they stopped and inconvenienced 1,011 people and found nobody drunk.
Now, also, I don't know if you've ever seen these checkpoints, Tom, where they talk about, you know, wasting gas and so forth and saving the environment. And you have this long, long, long row of cars with the engines idling, you know, inching along like it was rush hour, and it's completely artificial.
Right.
But I don't know how the public was protected by having 1,000 or more motorists inconvenienced and not even making one arrest. And if they had made 10 arrests, I wonder what difference that would have made.
I believe there were 3 people cited, but Ooh. It was not for drunk driving or even impaired driving.
So they got you for a taillight.
Or, your registration expired or something
Ooh.
Like that.
Well, that's very useful.
Right? So that's going to be going on all summer here in Burbank.
It's probably going on the whole city. That's the way it goes.
It's unbelievable.
So lately I've been doing some DUIs. That's always fun.
Uh-huh.
And I've done quite a few expungements. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about cultural differences, Tom.
Oh, yes.
I think you'll really appreciate this.
Me especially.
I don't know how far I can go on the politically incorrect scale.
On this show? Are you asking me that question?
No, I don't know.
Have you forgotten what show this is?
I was told to
You're our biggest advertiser.
Is that right?
I think at this moment you are.
Thank you.
And my question for you is, do you know what show you're advertising on?
Well, if you recall,
how far you can go.
No, but there was that lady who was writing to me that I have to stop right away until they fire you, as I recall.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Highly effective communication with me.
But, no, you go as far as you want. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I traveled around South America, and I know that you did that to some degree also,
yes.
Tom. And, that we have this thing, you don't hit a girl. You don't hit a girl. It's wrong to hit a girl no matter what, and there's no excuse for domestic violence. But you know that in other cultures, when a woman goes too far, you know, the husband gives her the back of the hand, and that shuts her up or whatever.
Right.
And I don't know that that's necessarily a great idea. But we really have gone, in terms of the pendulum, very much the other way in the United States. And what's really fascinating, is that when a woman calls the police, or when one of the neighbors calls the police because they hear screaming or fighting or whatever, it starts this cascade that cannot be stopped. In particular, the classic circumstance, and I see this all the time, is that the wife or the girlfriend that the husband hit or pushed or whatever was arrested, she comes to court with him, and she wants to drop the charges, and she wants to go to see a therapist and work it out, or not even perhaps. It was something that they just did between them. It was some kind of sick foreplay or something that they fight and then they fuck, you know? But the bottom line is that in the U.S. law, and this is very much influenced, people don't even realize this, but culturally very much influenced by the O.J. Simpson case, where they got divorced and then he was following her, supposedly, and trying to get her back, and they were getting back and all this kind of stuff. And you must remember this, Tom. I know you went to high school on Long Island, right? Which,
yes, I did.
Tragically, is the same thing that I did, by the way.
Yeah, I understand.
Not even that far from you, as I recall. But,
no.
You know, there was always a couple, and I really remember this so clearly in high school, that had this drama where they were kind of locked at the lips, you know, and they were like together, but then they'd break up, and then they'd get back together, and then they'd break up, and they kept having these like.
But I love him!
Well. That's got to be some basic thing that goes on in relationships, especially with these kind of high-strung female types, you know, this hysterical women and their craziness with the guys that they're dating and so forth. But what happens now is that when the police are summoned, the snowball is rolling down the mountain, and they come to your place, and they almost have to make an arrest, and then charges have to be filed. And then once it happens, and I've talked to these women who are saying, how do you make this stop? They don't know how to make it stop, and you can't.
By the way, isn't it true? Because I just had this conversation with other people who had problems with other county or city agencies.
Sure.
I don't know. Let's say your grandparents feel they're being abused by a nurse.
Elder abuse is big, by the way.
All right. And so you call, and all you're looking to do is put a little scare into that person.
Yeah, you see.
And suddenly people are getting cuffed, and charges are being filed, and the police. How about Child Protective Services?
Oh, don't even get me started on that.
Right? The point is, folks, anytime you make these calls, you know, by the way, my own domestic violence situation.
Oh, my God.
Began with someone calling 911, and I remember that the district attorney's office, in playing poker with me, said they had the smoking gun. They had the excited utterance on a 911 call
Which,
that was going
way,
to put me
means,
away.
Means nothing.
Understood.
It means it's hearsay. I mean, it's craziness.
No, but here's what's the best part. Finally, after we negotiated my plea and I walked away, we got to hear the 911 call.
It was nothing, probably.
It was her dialing 911 and then hanging up the phone.
Oh, that's great.
You know, in other words, she was threatening to do it.
I think they bluffed, Tom.
Well, of course, but that's what I'm saying. the point is, once you pick up that phone to make a call like that, you know, a lot of people are tempted to call because the grandparents are being abused, because the children were being you know, spanked or whatever. You know, when you do that, at least realize what you are doing. You are putting people into a system that is hell-bent on trying to show results. We had a problem, and then we went in, and we fixed the problem.
Tom, it's the understatement of the universe, what you just said. It's not a joke. It's that thing, you know, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you.
Right.
You know? The classic thing, and particularly in the context of domestic violence, but I'm sure it's elder abuse as well, is, you know, okay, fair enough. There's a woman who's got this husband or boyfriend who's, like, torturing her, okay? And he's yelling at her, he's treating her bad, whatever he's doing, okay, fine. But in her conceptualization, she's going to call the police, they're going to come, they're going to give him a stern warning, and he's going to knock off the bullshit. And what she doesn't realize is that she has now started something that cannot be stopped.
Right.
That he's going to need to be bailed out of jail, perhaps. And she ends up having to take their life savings for that, plus hiring an attorney. And the first thing the court does is they issue a restraining order for her.
Right.
Whether she wants it or not, that he has to move out of the house and he can't go near her. And I've been the case where, I don't know if it's a very healthy thing, but the woman's telling me she wants to get back with the guy, and there's really no way to do it. Even if they want, I mean, if you get this arrest and at least they went to couples therapy or something and they work this, their situation out and, you know, whatever, they're going to insist on being together. But the way the courts work is the judge says, no, you guys don't talk. You guys don't meet. there's a restraining order. I don't want to hear about this. And then the husband all of a sudden is, you know, having to plead guilty or deal with a trial and so forth. And it's a serious thing. And I think that if you have your own business like you, Tom, it's one thing. But if you have a conviction for domestic violence of some kind, or you have probation or whatever right. it is, and you work for some square corporation, let's say you work in an office where there's like lots of women. Now, that comes up on these computers nowadays. Everything's interlinked. You're going to get a call into human resources, and they're going to say, I'm sorry, are you the same, you know, John right? Doe here who got yeah. convicted for domestic violence? You say, yeah, that was between me and my wife last year. Well, get the hell out of here. You're fired. You can't work here.
Right.
You're going to beat up one of our staff. We can't
have this is look, they're all kidding aside, this is what
Not
I mean when
aside,
I say, if
I mean,
you're
serious.
Very angry or you're very unhappy, today is the day to pack your bag and get out of there. Or if it's your house, today is the day to mediate with someone and find a way to get the other person to leave your house and be done with it. Once you get into this, I'm going to call 911 right now. You have gone too far down the road. You can't turn around.
Yeah, it really is true. I'm much more sympathetic when one of the neighbors called because they hear screaming. You know, it's got to be a class thing in a way. If you live in a house, you guys are, you know, screaming and yelling and, you know, burying bodies in the basement and no one finds it for years. But when you live in some of the things that we have here in SoCal and elsewhere, where there's like condos or you have common walls and apartment buildings and so forth, you know, you hear your neighbors carrying on, you know, you're more inclined to have some little old lady call 911 and the cops come. She thinks she's doing a good thing. But in the context of staying too long and being in these synergies, you were talking about this, I think, on yesterday's show. I was listening to the replay about this guy from last week, or Justin or Dustin or something of the sort. And this is
Brandon.
Brandon, thank you. This is the kind of thing that happens, Tom, where people are in really stupid situations and they are telling themselves, I'm just going to deal with, you know, get through Christmas and then I'll dump her or whatever. And the bottom line is that they have their lives take this unbelievable detour. And I certainly encourage you to call my offices, Law Office of Adam Sachs, to help you. But the bottom line is it would be so much better if you could avoid it. You know, I think, when you're with a crazy person. And it might be great to fuck them a couple of times, sure. But over time, these kinds of things are going to come back and bite you.
Now, we had the guy who called in on this show today. This guy, now he's going through a divorce. And he had the cops over there, and he went a night in jail, and it turned out he hadn't laid a hand on her, but still, he had to go down and be arrested and be booked and have to go into jail and spend the night
humiliating.
There because his wife is not happy that he's not happy, and he wants to get a divorce. Meanwhile, he tells us that over the years, she has been manic depressive and has a drinking problem. And what I always wonder about people is, why do you stay with people like that? We had another caller on today's show. We weren't even talking about this as a topic. Somebody else called in, and her ex-boyfriend was a crack smoker.
Oh, I heard that. That was a great one.
Now, come on. I mean, what are you doing? And then you complain later on that the guy's a crack smoker. You knew he was a crack smoker. Go on in.
Well, I think she was complaining that he was unemployed, too, you know?
Well, that's because he's a crack smoker.
That was even worse, you know?
That's right.
The crack she could handle, you know?
You know, you could, but the thing is, you could avoid so many problems in life if you, like, look around and look at these red flags and see where you're heading. If you're with somebody who, you know, likes to take a swing at you once in a while, I don't care if you're a man or a woman, if you're with somebody who says, I'm calling the cops, if you're getting in that kind of drama, today is the day to pack your things and get out. Today.
There was this kind of a bomb of a movie a couple of years ago called So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Okay.
And it was with Mike Myers, you know, the guy from Saturday Night Live, right?
Yes.
And I think it was very unsuccessful. I watched it on cable TV at like 2 in the morning one night, you know. But the bottom line was that, you know, he married the perfect woman. And everything really was okay, and she was sweet and gorgeous, and everyone loved her. But once in a while, she would go out and axe murder someone. You know what I mean?
Ah.
It was just sort of that thing that happened from time to time.
Yes.
And I really think that's a lot of what goes on with this, as you say, the manic depressives and these others.
Look at the Boston bomber. He was married.
Right, of course. So he beat the crap out of his wife, too.
What time are you home tonight, honey? I'm going to be in the lab for a while.
I mean, it just seems that in the context particularly of criminal law, I talk to a lot of people that just have all these regrets, and they sit there and they say, you know, I should have left at this point. I should have realized at that point. I had my big chance to avoid all this at this point and that point, and I didn't. I should have. I could have. I would have.
Now, let me ask you this question, because it's been in the news a lot lately. Now, of course, you've got the crazies who are out there now wanting to cut the legal limit for alcohol when you're driving from 0.08% to 0.04 or 0.05, depending on what state and what crazy group we're talking about.
Right.
Now, is that about keeping people safer?
No, it's nonsense.
Or is it about getting more people into the governmental system of paying fines and keeping the jail system alive and what have you?
No, Tom, seriously. I mean, it's certainly a good thing for us defense attorneys, but the really, really big money is in the government, as you say. People don't realize this, and I told you, I'm always heartbroken, all these people that come in and plead guilty to DUIs. But the government fines you in California. Your first offense is about $2,500. And then there's you have to pay for the cost of your court hearing, and you have to pay, you have to go to these different programs and classes beyond 12 steps. You also have to take alcohol education classes and all this stuff. It is a cottage industry. It's not a joke. And I don't know if everybody knows this, but there's a different rule for when you're a young driver. When you're under 21, it's zero tolerance for alcohol. So I know that sounds crazy, but that means that if I was at dinner with an 18-year-old, and he said, "Hey, let me taste your wine," and he took a sip, which isn't going to have any effect psychologically speaking whatsoever, he could register a 0.01.
But wait a minute, worse than that, he could have a cough and take NyQuil.
Oh, God.
6 hours ago.
Oh,
and
no.
NyQuil is 30 proof, folks. I don't know if you know that. The secret ingredient that makes you sleep like a baby in NyQuil, it's booze.
Yeah, go for straight vodka and get the same effect.
So you could not have had any bottled beer or wine or spirits or anything. Most people don't know how many of these products contain alcohol.
Did you know that if you eat a poppy bagel, you can test positive for heroin?
Yes. And as far as alcohol is concerned, come on, rum cake. I mean, they go down the list of things that contain alcohol.
That's funny. But the thing about tolerance, again, and this is something that, you know, I remember learning about in high school, that it was like one beer or one drink of hard liquor or one glass of wine, if you drank it, would bring you to approximately 0.08. And that was said to be tolerable. That's sort of like the French person that drinks a glass of wine with dinner or whatever. You couldn't say that person's intoxicated.
But even that is wrong. And the reason it's wrong is because your blood alcohol level is related to how big you are.
Yeah, your weight.
If you're a big, fat person, you can have three glasses of wine and maybe not register a 0.08. And yet, if you're a little 98-pound thing, one glass of wine could put you over the limit.
I'll tell you guys, if I had one sip of fucking beer right now, I'd be all tipsy and shit. It's just the way my body works. One sip, two sips.
Really?
Yep.
Well, stay out of trouble there, Artie.
Bite.
The thing is that when you look at the idea, again, of tightening the standard, 0.05, that's just going to lead to even more arrests. And one of the things that they do in these, like, Mothers Against Drunk Driving and so forth, these advocacy groups, is I think they're very frustrated because what they're doing as it is now doesn't work.
Well, not only that, but as it is, with the budget constraints that the federal government is under, the state government, California's broke, we all know that, you know, they're letting people out of prison every day. And are drunk drivers who had a 0.08 or a 0.06, are they really the danger to society that rapists or murderers are, or heroin dealers?
Well, there's always the story about the guy who's going to run over a child on his bicycle or whatever. But, you know, I remember very vividly, Tom, when you did some of these terrestrial radio shows where people were calling in, and they were calling in from the road, and they were talking about the drinks that they had, and they had a cooler in the car, and, you know, hardcore alcoholic types.
They say things like, that cup holder was made for something.
Yeah, right, exactly. But, I mean, there's really no effect on it. And if you really did something where if you got caught drinking and driving and that was it, you lose your license for 20 years or whatever. But the way we have it now, like I said, it's really much more of a business. If it's your first offense, it's your second offense. You know, I mentioned I've been doing a lot of expungements lately, And I mean, that goes very swimmingly. People are very happy. I got people that have DUIs, and after, you know, they paid the fines and gotten off probation, I submit papers, I go to court, and I get the whole thing erased like it never happened. So our society is sort of playing it both ways. We're saying that we're very, very concerned about DUI, but on the other hand, we don't take it seriously.
Here's another thing. When we speed.
No, that's another beauty.
Well, here's the thing.
How long was it 55, Tom? I mean, that was absurd.
I know. But you get a ticket. And these days now, a ticket is $300-$400.
Of course.
Depending on what county you're in California. But that's the least of it. Who makes the real money on that? The insurance company.
Yeah.
Because your rates go up, and they go up for what I would say would be like over a year, like a year and a quarter or more.
Yeah, but if you think about it, it's really unfair considering that everybody speeds. We have a society that definitely thinks like the thing that you do wrong is getting caught. So everyone's screwing around, and no one respected, particularly, like I said, when it was 55 miles an hour. That was absurd. That was from the 70s during the energies crisis or whatever. So now, for years, I think it's changed in the past few years, but for a very, very long time, you know, everyone was essentially a lawbreaker. And that's very much related to the laws against adultery and the laws against oral sex and sodomy and all the other stuff where we create these things that don't really make sense and we pretend that we're enforcing them. And it really seems to me that there's always outrage after someone gets hurt in drunk driving incidents. And so, you know, the national consensus has to be, let's lower the limit. Let's make it even more dramatic than it is already. But you and I have always kidded about this, Tom. Why do bars on Sunset and elsewhere have parking lots?
Right? How do you get a license? You know, if you're within a certain distance of a school, you can't get
a license. But you can have a big parking lot.
You have a big parking lot.
No problem.
You can.
So what does that mean? So the patrons must be driving there.
Well, especially here in Southern California, where public transportation is a joke, especially at night.
Of course.
You know, and I, to give you an example, back in the day, you know, you go to Barney's Beanery. Right there in West Hollywood.
You like that place?
Love that Barney's Beanery. What do they have? 30, 40 tap handles there. And they have got a parking lot that's like from here to eternity in West Hollywood. They've got valet parking. You go in there.
I can just picture you there, Tom.
Believe me, people at Barney's in the 80s and the 90s, they knew me there. Jack Silver and I spent a day at the bar at Barney's where we came up with the idea of what we would do if we ever had like an FM talk station. And we sat at the bar there. And again, we were parked in the lot and drinking heavily. And I'm amazed that that's allowed. You know, if these bars didn't have parking lots, you would have to take a cab. You would have to.
Do we have cabs?
Do we have cabs?
You know, in New York, yes. You go out and hail a cab, right?
Yeah, you call a cab here.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Glad to hear it.
You call Beverly Hills Cab, or you call L.A. Taxi or whatever, and they come over.
All right.
Yeah.
But then you leave your car at the bar, I suppose.
Well, but the point is, you try to think ahead, like, I'm going to booze tonight, and you take the cab out. You know, I don't live too far from that area. I'm a $10 cab ride at most one way. So now, I never would I do that today.
I just think the way it is, Tom, basically, is that there's a certain amount of suckers that are going to get caught, and that's just part of your calculation. And sooner or later, you're going to get a DUI, you're going to need an attorney to defend yourself, and you're going to either beat it or try to minimize the impact and get about your life. And we're not being honest. It's like making drugs illegal. It's not going to happen.
Is it true you get as much justice as you're willing to pay for?
Oh, God.
It's true, right?
You get me into one of these philosophical conversations.
Come on, you know it's true. That's, by the way, why do you think I have so many good attorneys?
Well,
always have.
I think that it's safe to say that basically, you know, if you walk into court without a lawyer, you're going to get screwed.
Right.
And if you have the money for a decent lawyer, you're going to be okay.
And if you walk in with a public defender, you're really going to get screwed.
Jesus, Tom. I feel bad because I know a couple of public defenders, and they're not like the worst people in the world. But it's generally very altruistic.
They're very, optimistic.
Mostly they're very frazzled because they have 900 cases.
They are, but their heart's in the right place.
If you say so. As long as your intention is good, it doesn't matter what happens. Yeah, my intention was to help you. I didn't help you, but
it's like when they win a game in the WNBA and one team loses, they go, but come on, they tried.
Let me ask you something else, seriously, and this is related to drugs, right?
Yeah.
Is there anyone tonight or any other night in American history that wants to do cocaine or heroin or any illegal drug and says, you know, I really wanted to do some coke tonight, but it's against the law, so I'm not going to.
No. No one ever says that.
That would be wrong, you know?
Also, no one ever says, you know, I was needing some heroin, and I just don't know where to get it.
Right, right.
Ever.
And I wouldn't want to score it anyway, because that would be breaking the law.
Right.
Okay, so that tells you something right there.
Never.
So meanwhile, I have people that get arrested for drugs, and I certainly help them out. And the experience they have of getting arrested and getting hassled and the whole thing, I think is probably more damaging than the drugs themselves.
Let me throw one more at you before we go to the break here. You brought up drugs. Let's talk pot. Now here in California, everybody is confused about what is and isn't legal. So you've got people who've got these medical marijuana cards.
Right.
And they've got pot there in the car, and they are smoking pot in the car. And they are saying, well, if I get pulled over, I'm going to show my medical marijuana card because I've got a medical condition and my doctor prescribed pot, and that's it.
Yeah.
Where is this at now? Do we even know?
I think that you're certainly, you know, going into a marijuana store and buying it, you know, with your card or whatever, you know, the cops are not waiting for you outside the store to bust you. And I think you're certainly okay, you know, if you have it in the car, if they were to search the car and find it, you know, that you have marijuana in your possession or whatever, however that comes out, if you show them your marijuana card, I believe that they are instructed to let it slide. But I would not recommend rolling it up and smoking it while you're driving, Tom.
Is there a test?
We're going to have to draw the line there, Tom.
Is there a way to tell if a driver is stoned?
Yeah, I think the cops are probably more focused on the smell and finding
it.
Right,
but you could have smoked weed before you got in the car.
You know, they say to the dum-dum that they pull over, have you been smoking today? And I told you the same with drinking. And 99% of the people are like, yeah, well, just a little, you know. Right. Only a couple of beers, officer.
Right.
So it's best to keep the mouth shut.
Just shut up.
I would say maybe it's smart to keep the drug use at home. That's not a bad idea.
Right. Or at work?
Depends on where
you
work.
Who said that?
That was Art.
Oh. I'm just sitting here taking some rips off the old bong right now. So
this is not the normal work environment there, Art.
Maybe for you, dude, this is the new normal, all right?
Oh, yeah?
Well, you know the deal here. We give drug tests to all our employees.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, if it comes out negative, you're fired.
You'll be able to handle your shit.
Well, it's a little different, man, I have to say, Tom. I think you're a little more tolerant than the average boss.
That's true. Anyway, all right, let's take a break. And here we have, in this case, he's defense attorney Adam Sachs. He is here to answer questions about, is that a cloud of fucking smoke in that control room? Holy shit.
He's pushing all the wrong buttons. I can see it.
Unbelievable.
How do you concentrate?
When somebody, the next caller will say, take me out Texas Aggie Sal. And when he's smoking weed, you know what would be the great crank call for people to call up and find the most obscure styles? Take me out Ricardo Montalban style and make him look for that.
I love the Autobahn, dude. I've always wanted to get him.
There we go.
Already sitting there with the dark glasses on, man.
Oh, my.
I got regular glasses.
No, I got the dark glasses.
He's got the dark ones.
Anyway, it's 901-3000 Tom. That's our telephone number here. If you have questions for our defense attorney, Adam Sachs, DUI, pot smoking, getting pulled over, getting accused of some kind of crime, here is free legal advice for you if you just call 901-3000, Tom. It's 901-3000-866.
Kicking Earth's ass on TuneIn, iTunes, and at blowmeuptom.com. 901-3000-TOM. Tom Likas Show.
All right. I know you guys dread doing the flower thing as much as I do. But what if I told you there's a hassle-free way for you to get it done? And it involves a fellow P1. His name is Kevin Rogers. And he owns Aroma Flowers and Gifts, a trusted, high-quality florist in Covina. You know, Kevin's been a P1 listener from way back. It's CovinaFloristOnline.com. Covina. FloristOnline.com. It's as easy as browse, buy, and you're done. Aroma Flowers and Gifts has a huge variety of the freshest arrangements along with plants and other gift ideas that can be delivered to their large SoCal delivery area, and they'll even do wire service if you're outside of California. Covina, FloristOnline.com. Go there right now. Covina. FloristOnline.com.
Dino. America loves the Gary and Dino show. What's more patriotic than two guys sitting at a table, one drunk, the other high on pills, shooting the shit about a bunch of stupid stuff? Guts, glory, stupidity. The Gary and Dino Show. Go to GaryandDino.com.
Father's Day is almost here, and there's only one perfect gift. It's the Mangrate Grill Enhancement System. Mangrates are 100% made in America. They're cast iron grilling grates that you use with your existing grill. These heavy-duty grilling grates deliver exactly what you need to achieve that steakhouse flavor you've been looking for. And those perfect grilling marks, too. No more flare-ups, no more dry meat, guaranteed. Now take advantage of their $19.99 Tom Leica Show special today. Just enter coupon code TOM101. That's TOM101. And as a bonus, every order comes with a heavy-duty Mangrate grilling brush. Be sure to order this week for guaranteed Father's Day delivery. Hook your dad up this Father's Day with the Mangrate Grill Enhancement System. Like a show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. A bonus hour with our friend, defense attorney Adam Sachs, criminal attorney, attorney at law, DUI attorney. You guys have had a criminal issue, he can help you. And he'll give you advice right here and now if you call 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. Carlos! In Ventura, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Carlos.
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, Adam. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, of course.
All right. Well, I have a question for you guys, actually for Adam. I got pulled over for a DUI Friday before New Year's. I did the whole overnight in jail. You know, I got to see what it was like for the first time. Myself, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. Like, I have a clean record. I'm a little nervous. Sorry about that.
It's but, okay. Don't worry about it.
I have a good record. You know, I had some speeding tickets when I was really young, when I first got my license, but, you know, I'm 30-year-old now, and, you know, clean record. So I got pulled over for this DUI, and I had to go to jail and do the whole thing. Well, I didn't go see a lawyer right away. I didn't see a lawyer right away because I was waiting for my blood alcohol level,
no,
and I didn't get it.
It's very important to talk to a lawyer right after the arrest because you only have about 10 days to protect your driver's license and set up a DMV hearing. So
that's what I did not do.
Yeah, well, of course, because you didn't hire a lawyer. It sounds like you were arrested 6 months ago. So what's happened since then?
Well, let me tell you, I just waited around. I waited around until I kept calling. Actually, what I kept calling is the CHP for my blood alcohol level.
Okay, now that's another mistake. They're never going to deal with you. Never. They're just not going to. I'm always amazed that people are calling the social workers or the police themselves. I mean, when you are an attorney and you call, there's certain legal obligations, and they hop to it. But if you're just basically a perpetrator from their point of view, they're not going to do anything for you. So this thing that you're talking about where you're waiting, I'm not really sure what you're waiting for. I mean, you're never going to get a call back if that's the point. And so it just goes back to my original argument that it's absolutely critical to hire counsel right away.
Yeah.
So what's happened to you? Tell me. So after all this time, do you have a court date?
What happened,
I mean, what's going on?
Well, what happened is they gave me a court date, and it was the day after my birthday. So I'm at my mom's house, and I actually send all, like, any kind of, if I ever get into trouble or something, I would probably just give them their information, like that address. So that's what I did. And I'm there the day before my court date, and my mom says, "Hey, I got some mail for you." I go, "Hey, well, what do you got?" "It's my driver's license."
Okay.
So what I actually, weeks before, I had actually gotten my blood alcohol level 0.07.
Oh, okay. So you dodged a bullet.
Yeah, but that's why I didn't hire a lawyer, because I didn't know that information. I didn't want to have to, like, I was afraid of having to pay. I've never had any issues. I've never seen a lawyer.
I don't want you to feel bad, and I'm happy it worked out for you, but that's one in a million. And you already heard what Tom was saying just now. They're going to actually tighten that up. They're going to make it 0.04 or 0.05.
Yeah. So, and you know what? When I got pulled over, like I enjoy a drink every now and then. You know, I'm 30 years old, no kids. You know, I go out, I socialize, I drink. I know what it's like to feel, like, buzzed and intoxicated, you know? And I knew that night I was intoxicated. Even though I got pulled over, I practiced all the standards, everything I've learned on the show, there. And I went, I had the blood drawn. I took as long as I could. You know, I was very friendly.
Some of my advice to you, but if you had used a breathalyzer, for example, because it's not very accurate, if it was 0.07, they might have registered a 0.08. And by the way, the fact that you probably had another hour or two until they got you to the place where you did the blood draw, most likely that saved you too, because it was you were right on the edge.
45 minutes. Yeah, I understand that.
But by the way, you shouldn't think that you can tell how intoxicated you are. That's a big mistake. And there's people who tell me, oh, you know, I know if I'm drunk. Bullshit, you don't know. That's not true. It has to do with your body weight and your aspiration and your digestion. There's all these different factors.
That is why you drink, if I recall correctly. So you don't know.
Right.
How drunk you are.
Sounds about right to me.
You can't take responsibility for the crazy things you say.
All right, so do me a favor. I don't want you to be a bad example to the boys out there, okay? You definitely, you had a good outcome, and I'm happy for you. Don't get me wrong.
Well, it's not done. It's not done.
What do you mean it's not done? I thought you got your license back.
Well, I didn't. I showed up at the window on my court date that is set for me to show up to.
Yeah.
And basically what they told me is that it's been sent back.
What that might mean is that because it was such a borderline test, they may be trying to test it again and to see if it was, you know, because it's right, because 0.08 is illegal and 0.07 is not. So maybe that's the story. So do me a favor, please. Tell the boys, I know you agree with me, okay, even after your luck experience here.
Oh, man.
Do you need a lawyer or what?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Case closed.
It's just too tough, Tom. And what he said is a very common experience, that people try to call the courts or they try to call the police and, you know, get copies of things and stuff, and you just get treated so poorly when you're just a regular individual dealing with your own case. It's just not a good idea.
We will give you Adam's number at the end of the hour here at 901-3000. Tom, Barry in San Francisco. You're on the Tom Likas Show. Barry, hello.
Yes, sir. How are you doing? I have averted DUI story over the Labor Day or Memorial Day weekend. I even sent you I think I even posted something on your Facebook page suggesting it. And let's see if I'll try to give you the Reader's Digest version. I'm in the field service industry, and I was working Saturday, had a very long day, all over the Bay Area, you know, over 100 miles, you know, all over several cities. And I have a sushi chef friend of mine that invites me over to his house for barbecues occasionally. And we ended up at his place Saturday night and had several beers and sakes. And his wife whipped out the bong, you know. So, you know, we were in excellent form, you know.
Maybe everybody likes some marijuana.
I mean, you didn't get behind the wheel, right? Come on.
Oh yeah. I was a bust machine, absolutely. And so I was taking the back roads, you know, I know my way around really well, and taking the back roads, and you know, there's Park Street to Otis, right? And you know, it's a lighted intersection with a green light, you know, a green arrow, and I'm turning left, and I'm in the intersection, starting to turn yellow. And I see this hammered, drunk pedestrian walking in the crosswalk, you know, in the towards me, and I stop. And my signal's going. I'm actually give a hand signal, and I stop. The arrow turns red. The pedestrian passes, and I continue my left turn going on. And then Alameda police light me up, And I remember looking at my partner who's riding with me, and I look at him, and I said, oh, so it's tonight. And so they pulled me over. I turned off my lights and everything and sat there, and, of course, they lit me up in my driver rearview mirror. And when I reach for my ID, I pull it up in such a way that it blocks the light of the mirror, you know, in my eyes. But also they see that I'm pulling my ID and not a weapon, right? So that kind of calms them down. And then they come up on one side, and the other officer comes up on the passenger side. And the first thing he asked me is, have you had anything to drink tonight? And I remember listening to your show a few weeks ago, and the first thing out of my mouth was, no, sir. He asked me if I had my registration and insurance. And my van is kind of trashed, you know, so I said, no, I don't have that handy with me, you know. And he takes my ID, and he goes into the back. Oh, and he asks, do you guys come from a bar? No. You know, we were going to Santa Rita. I mean, you know, if he pulled me out and we're going to do a road sobriety, that was it. We were done. And he goes into the back. They're back in the car, and they, you know, I have my itinerary on a clipboard there on my dashboard. You know, I said, no, man, we've been all over hell and gone, you know. And for some reason, maybe it's the adrenaline, but I'm, like, unusually articulate considering my condition. And they go in the back, and it's like 15 minutes, you know, and Dave and I are going, you know, and we have nothing on our record, nothing. You know, really, totally clean, not a parking ticket, nothing. And they go back there, and they're messing around for 10 or 15 minutes, and my buddy's going, well, you know, they're going to pull us out. We're going to do a road sobriety test. And I said, here's my prediction. They're going to get bored and send us on our way. And the cop walked up, and he says, well, I'm going to cite you for this illegal left turn. You know, I explained to him about the pedestrian and stuff, too, you know. And he says, you know, I'm going to cite you for the illegal left turn and, you know, trying to, you know, suppress an urge to kiss a policeman. I gratefully signed it, and he sent me on my way.
Congratulations.
Well, here's the thing. I'm thinking about fighting the ticket because I think it was, you know, even though if he would have busted me, I would totally have bust, but I think that was a bullshit ticket.
All right, go ahead and fight it. Good idea. I do those too. No problem.
No, I'll go. And even if I lose, I'm going to say what great guys these guys were to the judge. Anyway,
you're really getting off on this. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah,
listen,
totally.
All right. You're enjoying it too much, okay?
Oh,
please.
My, oh, my.
Do me a favor. Don't drink and drive. Thank you.
Quick question about this is something that I people
that was good, Tom.
I know. I would say some people have claimed to me. You know, it's one thing to be pulled over when you're driving. You had a few drinks. I have heard from people who've called in and other people who I know who have told me they were drinking and they did not want to drive. But here they were in some suburban neighborhood somewhere.
Right.
And they couldn't ask the host of the party, can I lay down in your guest room for a while? Whatever. Couldn't lay down on the lawn. So they went to the car and laid down in the back seat with the car key in their pocket, and pretty soon they were awakened by a flashlight.
Right.
And they were told to get out of the car, and then they were told that they were going to get a DUI because they were drunk, and they were in the car, and they had
right.
a key.
Right.
People think they could just get in the car and sleep it
well,
off.
That's true.
What's the deal?
Yeah, I could usually beat that, by the way, but if it ends up going to court and so forth. The really, really heavy one is if the key is in the ignition. Generally speaking, if you're sitting in, like, the driver's seat and the car is off, I've had people say that to me. I got arrested and the car was off. If you have the key in the ignition, even if the car is off, that shows intent to drive. And they can get you for a DUI under those circumstances. On the other hand, if the key's in your pocket, particularly if you're not in the driver's seat, if you're in the back seat and you're just sleeping or something, generally, you're going to be okay.
Wouldn't that be a good thing to be able to encourage people to do? Considering,
rest.
Especially in Southern California, where getting on the subway or getting on a convenient bus or even hailing cab, not really possible.
Right.
Wouldn't it be great if people could just go to their car and go to sleep in the back seat and sleep it off?
Yeah, I mean, that is certainly something that is not illegal. And I think that a lot of
times... But you're taking a risk that someone's going to interpret what you're doing as illegal.
No, I think he's not in the ignition. I think a lot of times the reason these people get arrested, Tom, is because they mouth off to the cops, to be honest with you. You know, a cop comes to you, and if you have a good attitude and you say, look, I wasn't going to drive, I'm just resting, I did have a drink, but I'm just resting it off, I think they're going to let you go. If you start screaming at the cop and you tell him, hey, it's none of your effing business and all this, I think that they're going to say, hey, you know what, I'm writing you up, see what happens.
Good a lot luck. Of people hate cops. I have never had a hard time with cops, and that's because I always cooperate. And I don't mean cooperate by going out and taking the field sobriety test. I mean, you know, license, registration, no excuses,
it's all there. You're also a white guy, Tom.
No doubt.
Supposedly, the attitude of a cop towards a minority person when they pull them over is a lot different.
Well, I will tell you that the worst I was treated by a cop in the last 10 years was a lesbian cop who I think was familiar with my show.
That sounds bad. If she recognized you and she was a bona fide lesbian.
I've had male cops pull me over and they look at the lights and they go, get out of here. And I have also had them, I have had two cops pull me over in the past 2 months who wanted to. They look like they're pulling me over for an infraction, but in reality, when I look at my Tesla.
Well,
is this all electric?
This is the benefits of celebrity, I suppose.
Well, there's no benefit when you see the lights in your rearview mirror and you think you're going to get nailed or something. You don't even know what you did.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Here we are, Defense Attorney Adam Sachs. Your call, 901-301-3000.
Nice.
Or call 911 and see what happens. 901-3000-866.
Storming halls, breaking walls, and busting balls. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
How do you like the sound of this? 18 years. Are you hearing me, boys? 18 years of child support, in fact, sometimes as much as 25 years of child support, is what you'll be paying. For a few moments of pleasure, that will change your life forever. Not just change your life, but in many cases, ruin your life. It's condoms, 100% of the time. If you don't follow this mandatory rule, you fail. No piece of ass. It's worth the risk. Now listen, I want you to go to condomjungle.com. That's condomjungle.com and see just how fast and easy it is to get your condoms online and always be prepared. Now they ship anywhere and don't worry, it's totally discreet. Try it once and you'll never buy condoms in a store again. Order online at condomjungle.com today. Use coupon code TOM T-O-M, Tom, and get 15% off your first order. It's condomjungle.com, coupon code Tom. Hump responsibly. The Tom Likas Show, the bonus hour. With attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, before we run out of time here, tell people how they can get in touch with you.
I think I still shock people by answering my phone, Tom.
I know.
I have people howling, oh my God, you really do answer the phone. But if you want to talk to me, I'm perfectly reasonable on the phone, and I can give you a free consultation if you'll dial toll-free 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. And you can also check me out online at adamlawyer.com.
There we go. All right. If somebody can ask one quick question.
Yeah, BS.
Yeah, they can't.
Wishful thinking, Tom. Go ahead.
All right. Real quick, I'm going to guess Ben in Minneapolis. Ben, you have to make it a quick question and a quick answer here.
Okay, we're running out of time, Ben. Come on.
I'll get right to it. Sachse, I kind of want to get your take on yesterday's Supreme Court decision. It was like a 5-4 decision in favor of law enforcement being able to swab the mouth of people that they, either pull over. And
right.
I read that it was involuntary.
Yes, I understand.
For instance,
I'm with you.
You
don't have to explain. I'm with you. I'm with you. I got you. You ready for the answer? How much time we got, Tom? 30 seconds?
About a minute. Go.
Okay. The bottom line is that what's happening over time is that our rights are being eroded little by little by little. And they already are showing now that they're going to do retinal scans where they look inside your eye to match you. They're already taking DNA samples, as you see. One of the theories of driving is that having a driving license is not a right. It's a privilege. And so if the state is doing you a big fucking favor, letting you have the right to drive, then they can attach all kinds of rules. And so they can say you have to submit to a blood test for DUI. And now they're going to the next step, which is you have to allow your cheek to be swabbed so we can sample your DNA. I think it is messed up.
Outrageous. All right. Adam Sachs, you hear him here every Tuesday. And, of course, that's at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. We do a bonus hour every Tuesday with attorney Adam Sachs.
Get everything for just 27 cents a day at PremiumTom.com. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it is time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
I'm Zanku.
We're brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine. You see a headline like this, you expect big things. A teen says she was turned away from her prom for having large breasts.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
You think it's going to be, you got your fingers crossed.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be a dream come true.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not at all.
I'm about to find out.
This is a Washington State woman.
Yeah, we're already.
18 years of age, Silverdale, Washington.
Right.
Brittany Minder was turned down for showing cleavage. There was a no cleavage rule at her prom.
Oh, are they cracking? Wait, is this the point? Is this where we're at in life?
Well, look, she has huge cans, man. She's showing tons of cleavage.
I can't believe this. In this day and age, there you can't even show wonderful cleavage at a prom.
This is the kind of broad that would be great at one of those medieval fairs. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It's that kind of cleavage.
Fair. If you see a large woman holding a turkey leg in her hand,
right,
running around without shoes, and you are at the Renaissance Fair.
You call her me lady. All right?
I call her me Mack Truck.
Yeah.
She a Mack Truck.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
That's
man.
Too bad.
Yeah, it is.
I was excited for about a second.
Me too. I knew not to get my hopes up too much, but right till that very last second.
I done thought we were up to something, and something was good.
Yeah. You haven't lived until you've seen the footage of that Miguel dude at the Billboard Music Awards when he attempts to jump over the crowd and literally crushes a broad's head.
It looked like a
down
scene
on her head
directly out of wrestling.
Right.
Seriously. Like,
right?
It was so over the top, the move, and the way the broad bounced off the stage and then her head snapped back after slamming into it. It looked like a professional wrestling move. Not even UFC. I mean, like pro wrestling. It was so over the top. Well, somebody, believe it or not, must have thought enough, as an attorney, I'm going to say this, somebody thought, you know what, I better get in touch with this young lady.
Sure.
Because even though Miguel said, hey, accidents happen, I'll put my arm around you, say we're cool, it's
get
cool.
Get our picture taken together.
Shake it off, everything's cool. Now the victim is saying that there's possible brain damage.
Yeah, it's hard to shake off brain damage if that's the case.
I have to
At
say
least
this.
The lawyer's saying that.
I'm going to say that I hope there's another physician that kind of looks into this a couple of times.
Right.
But I see a definite settlement coming because I guess it's alleged that he was told not to do it.
Yeah.
At all before the thing started.
Yeah.
Producers told him not to
do it.
Don't
be jumping over people. By the way, if that Brittany Minder was there with her big knockers, there wouldn't have been a problem. He would have just bounced
double
right
airbag.
Off. Yeah, right. Bingo.
No problema.
No brain damage there. Done. Your girl Farrah Abraham, I guess, has struck a plea deal and will not be doing any jail time.
I really like attorneys that get this job done. In fact, I look to guys, even our own Adam Sachs.
Yes.
You know, when you get a DUI and you're in trouble, just give a guy like Adam Sachs a call or one of these attorneys because, just say this, I don't want jail.
Right.
Please God, I don't want jail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that weekend camp thing where you go in on a Friday night and you're back to work for the Tom Likas Show on Monday. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not down with that.
Right.
So I want no jail. Just tell me what to do.
Right. Now, this story about Floyd Mayweather dropping 5.9 on betting on the Heat.
Yes.
Was that for the Eastern Conference Finals, or was that for the upcoming championship?
It looks like for that evening. They're still trying. People are still. There's a famous picture that's floating around now. Although money is always quick to hit Twitter and Instagram with his betting tickets,
mm-hmm.
but this one shows that he put holy fuck, man, $5.9 million on the game, and wowza.
That's
because
pretty impressive.
It says the event date is on the 3rd, so that would be this month. So that would be Game 7,
yep.
And it was the Heat minus 7, and right. Boy, did they cover.
Oh, no boy. Doubt about it.
So I hate LeBron James all you want. I'm speaking at myself here. It looks like our friends now fast-tracked because I see a win now for the Heat over San Antonio. It's serious. The best matchup already happened.
As much as I dislike Tim Duncan, I'd like to see him go out on a high note.
Really?
Yeah, and... and fuck LeBron, you know what I'm saying.
Would you like to see one of those leg drops by Miguel
right,
on him?
Exactly.
He needed
evidence that Katy Perry is completely nuts. Sources say that her and John Mayer are back together again. She just keeps on coming back for more.
I'm really let down.
I can't even hear it.
Estupido.
Exactly.
Mas estupido.
A couple of big alerts for you. Hayden Panettiere did a photo shoot for Nashville with a guitar and stuff at some movie theater.
Yes.
Wow, she looked in good tight black pants.
All right, I'm about to check it out now.
Fantastic. And as always, that Elisabetta Canalis.
Wait, you can see her bra in this
picture.
Yeah,
I know. You got to look at the other ones in the shoot. She's got a guitar and everything.
Got to determine whether or not we're talking
tight
real.
Tight black pants.
Wow.
Yeah, they're really good. And Elisabetta Canalis posting pictures on her Twitter account of her in a pool. You got to love a girl who tweets pictures of her own ass. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying.
So,
here's the situation. When I look at her,
to be proud of.
I see George Clooney on one side, and then I see Steve-O on the other, and I get confused.
It's all fucked up for it. Don't let it ruin it for you. What are you doing? There you have it. It's Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Zanku makes everything better.
Check out her podcast at GaryandDino.com. There's a brand new show every Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Your brand name is important to you. So it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today and enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.